To help prepare our minds for Brother Jim's lesson this morning, I'll be reading from the second chapter of Ephesians, verses 1 through 10. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you were formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as of the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surprising riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we may walk with him.
Is that right, Riley? Oh, yeah. Oh, you would, at the end of the service, you would say, hey, you misspelled that word. So she's my spell checker for me. So thank you. I want to thank Gene for leading that song. I asked him last Sunday, if he could lead, because I couldn't remember if he could lead or not. He said, yeah, no problem. So he done a good job. I also want to thank Austin for the prayer and then also for his scripture reading. We've studied this first chapter of Ephesians, where this comes from. Gene done a really good job on it a few months back, and I always appreciate his lessons he gives, because he goes into depth, and sometimes you kind of like some of the old writers, you got to reread some of his lessons, because he gets real deep, which is a good thing. So that shows his growing in the faith. So we, Sam and I and everyone, appreciate that also. Also, he brought out a little bit about spiritual blessings, but I want to just key in on that spiritual blessings. Because we always talk about the blessings that we have, physical blessings. But as Christians, we have greater blessings than those physical blessings.
Amen.
And that Christ told his disciples and the people that were gathered around him, don't worry about your food, water, clothing, where you're going to live. Just have faith in me, and all those things will come about. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. So that's something that as Christians we try to get past, and which is sometimes we do concern ourselves with what we have to eat the next day or things of that nature, where our next job is. Usually we don't have to, in a country like this, we don't usually have to worry about food, because there's always places that you can get food, raiment, and shelter. Sometimes you do have to worry about your job if you're in the kind of business that I am, because you can get laid off anytime. It could be the middle of the week, it could be the end of the week, it doesn't matter. When work runs out, you're laid off. So then sometimes you have to, but usually if you have a good, everybody knows you and everything, you should go to work for another company within the next day or two, which is no problem. So as we think about these spiritual blessings, I'd like for you to turn to Ephesians, the first chapter. But also I'd like for you to get your songbooks out and look at that page 162. I mean, for all of us, it's a beautiful song. We know it. We identify it with different people. We identify it to ourselves. And it most generally will bring a tear to your eye. And you ask, why would that be? You just look at the verses here. And as we study in Ephesians, the first chapter, see those things are brought out in that. And if you noticed, I took my lesson from the subtitle there, where it talks about the scripture reading. It says in Ephesians 1:18 that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. And when I seen that, I thought, well, how can it be enlightened? Well, it's enlightened by these spiritual blessings that we have. So I wanted to key in on that. And as you look throughout these verses here, the verses here in this song that Gene led, keep them in mind as we're going through the lesson, and you'll see about these spiritual blessings that they are entailed in this song as we have sung in the last few minutes, and that why we love the Lord so much. As we look here in these first chapter, I guess I better get turned over to Ephesians. I'm still in Timothy and Titus. But as we're thinking about this, he's writing to the Ephesians that was at the church at Ephesus, as Paul talked to them in the book of Acts. In the 20th chapter, he called the elders from the church of Ephesus and talked with them concerning what they need to look forward to, how they need to keep guard on the flock that has been entrusted to them, and that they need to even look among themselves and keep eye among themselves if someone does not raise up out of there to bring false teaching. But here in this first chapter, Paul, like I said, was talking to the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, and it's the same church as you see there in Revelation, the second chapter, talks about that church, how it had went from where it is today, as Paul is writing about here in the first chapter of Ephesians, to where it was at towards the end of the century, there in the second chapter of Revelation. We see how it had been a solid church, but it had lost its first love. So we see how fast it could go away. And Christ telling them that they need to come back. But in this first chapter, like I said, we're talking to these Christians there. In verse 3 it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." And you look at the word places, it's not in the original. So what we talk about is these spiritual gifts come from heaven. They're not from earthly. There's not from any earthly favor. It's not from anything that man has given. Only God can give these blessings. And as we go to the next verse, these blessings come, as we go on down through, we find it comes through Christ. There in the fourth verse says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love." And this here, we're not going to get into it, the predestination theory that they bring about. But we'll talk about who he chose. He chose what people? He chose a people for himself, as we will see. Wrong notes. Let me get it back over to him. But this church, this people that he has chosen, we see that it is one that was not particular to any ordinary people. It wasn't only to the Jews. It wasn't only to Gentiles or anybody or any other nation. It was a people he chose before the foundation of the world. He chose the apostles before the foundation to bring forth this gospel, to reveal it as they're given utterance from the Holy Spirit. And this people, this church, after his own possession, as you see in 1 Peter, the second chapter, you can see what kind of possession and what kind of people he is looking to and what character these people are, that they were foreknown before the foundations of the world. There in 1 Peter, the second chapter, and beginning in verse 9, this is Peter talking to those that were in Asia Minor, to those Christians that were called, and you look in verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So this is the type of people that he is talking to. This is the type of people that's going to receive these spiritual blessings, that's going to gain them. It's the people that are separate from the world. Separate in that is a possession for him. It's God's own possession. It's the people that are holy and without blame. It's the people that has accepted the gospel, has obeyed the gospel. If you also go over to Titus, the second chapter, and it gives you a little more information concerning who these people are. And then we'll come to the conclusion that it's the church, it's the chosen, it's the ecclesia, it's the one that's brought out of the world. But in Titus, the second chapter, and beginning in verse 12, I believe. Nope, I want to go back just a little bit back further. Yeah, we'll start in verse 6 or 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. So, if you think about predestined, well, it says all men here, but he said he's only predestined a few. Well, what is those that are obedient is the ones that he has predestined before the foundations of the world. He says, instructing us to deny. And this is the type of people are going to be. He's going to instruct them to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And what's these people going to be looking for? He said, they're going to be looking for the blessed hope and appearing of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. So those people that are in the church, Christians, we as Christians, are looking forward to the appearing of Christ. Our eyes are always upward, looking for the appearance when he appears on the clouds. That's what they're looking for. He said, this Savior, what he do for us? He redeemed us. He gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, for his zealous for good deeds. So he's done this. He went to the cross. He redeemed us for this people. This is the type of people he wants, one that are without blame, one that are above reproach, and he's purified them with his blood. So we'll get into that as we go down through this. So as we go a little bit further in the second or first chapter of Ephesians, and we go down to verse 5, it says, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed us in the beloved. Okay, as we look at this, he said, he adopted us. You think in our day-to-day, or our daily lives, about adoption. What type of people are adopted? Ones that's been left out, ones that's been orphaned, ones that's been given up for whatever reason may be. But those that adopt, what love they have for those that are not even their own blood. That's what we kind of look at. And look at God, that we were not a people. As we look, you see in the second chapter of Ephesians, we were not a people. But now we are a people because of the love of God, that he gave his son, that he adopted us. He brought us into the family. We are in that church. We are that people that was predestined. If you go over to the eighth chapter of Romans, we see that, talk about that adoption, what it is about. In the eighth chapter, and it gives you a lot more information than that as you read down further, but we're just going to touch lightly on the adoption. Beginning in verse 15 of the eighth chapter of Romans, it says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And listen to this, that the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So we see that he adopted us in. We were strangers, we were orphans. But he brought us in through the blood of Christ. And we were adopted into that family. Now we are part of that family. We are a part of that church, of those that he predestined before the foundations of the world. So as you think on these things and consider these blessings, and then we get down a little bit further to a little more of the blessings, he said that it was his kind intention, it was his will from the beginning, that even before the foundation, they would send Christ, that he would have him a people. This is in God's mind before, and it's his will to carry us through. As you study the Old Testament and the New Testament, he had that plan, that little fine line going throughout all. That theme of the Old Testament and New Testament was the salvation of mankind. And he revealed it slowly until the fullness of time came when it was ready, when he was prepared, when he had decided this is when it's coming about. It was already in his mind before he even created anything that this was going to come about. And that's kind of beyond our understanding how he done that. But he did it, he promised it, and it came about. Then it also, as you look down here into the, we begin in the seventh verse, and we're going to go through these different ones we see in these next five verses. Then the lesson will be yours. But these things are, these blessings are given to those that are predestined, those that have obeyed the gospel, those that are following after their prophets and the apostles' writings. In verse 7 it said, in him we have redemption through his blood the forgiveness of our trespasses according to his riches of his grace. He says we have redemption. Well, before we get to redemption, why do we need to be redeemed? Well, we was in bondage. We was in bondage of sin. We had to have something to release us from that bondage. And the blood of Christ released us from that bondage. There, as you see in that verse 7, it says, in him we have, as I wrote down here, redemption. It's through him. It's that blessing that those that have been obedient, they have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And it says it's through his riches of his grace. It's not because of anything we've done in the past. We've not built up a stack of paperwork that says he done this, he done this, he done this. Okay, because he's going to be redeemed now because he done all these things. No, it's because of the grace of God, the mercy of God. It was a free will giving. It was nothing that we have done because we could not attain to that if we tried to stack up our recommendations for that to go into heaven or to be redeemed from our trespasses. And it says in verse 8, it says, in which he lavished on us with all wisdom and insight. It was, as we talked, it was the will of God. And through his wisdom, he brought this about. That all Christians would be, after their obedience, would be redeemed. Their sins would be remitted. There would be, as we go to the next one, forgiven. There would be forgiveness given to the Christian, to those that were obedient. As you look into and think about Cornelius, we talked a little bit about him this morning, how a righteous man he was. But in the 11th chapter, it said that he had to send men to Joppa to get a man to come back and tell him things that he needed to know to be saved. So he was not saved yet. He had to listen to Peter and the gospel preached to him and him be obedient to that gospel. So there is a standard that is required of those that want this redemption, this forgiveness. Let's go on down to verse 9. He said, he made to us known the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. He done this through Christ. This mystery was brought about through Christ. It was always a mystery. And you look, they said that those of old longed to see that and never got a chance to see it. They knew that they were sojourners upon the world and that they were looking for a place not made with hands. So they were looking for it. They didn't get to see it. But we have gotten to see it. We have seen it. We have believed it. It has been written down for us and been carried out through the ages. And it's never changed. God's word has never changed. It's always been the same. So we have been given known that mystery. As you read on over in the second chapter of Ephesians, it talks about that mystery. What that mystery was all man. Salvation for all man. Not Jews only, but all man. So that was that mystery that brought about that those two became one in the body of Christ, the church. And as we go a little bit further, we see in verse 10, it says, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the sum of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth in him. So all things are going to consist in him. All things concerning the church consist in him. Even the world is held together because of him. Things is kept in order because of him. He just don't deal with just the church, but he deals with all things. All things are in his hands. And we see that this was a promise. There's a promise that was given also to us. And it goes further down into verse 11. It said, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be the praise of his glory. In him, you also, after listening to the message, the gospel of your salvation, have also been believed. You were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. So we see that there was a promise given. In Acts 2:38, there was a promise given. And it was the gift of the Holy Spirit. There was a gift also promised to the apostles. He said, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to send the Spirit of truth. He's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to lead you into all righteousness. It's what this promise was, and this promise was carried out. That all Christians today have that gift of the Holy Spirit. They have that Spirit dwelling within the Christian. We are the temple of God. So as we think of that, that kind of puts a big requirement on us If God's dwelling with us, how are we acting? We have to ask ourselves that each day and examine ourselves, see whether we are worthy of that calling. And if we see also, he's given us wisdom. What's James say about wisdom? He told us to ask for wisdom. But ask in what way? In James, the first chapter, he talks about that wisdom. It says in verse 5, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." So he said, ask for that wisdom. And if you get into the context, go back up, he's talking about those trials, those things that you may come into. Gives you, as you have knowledge, you're going to apply that knowledge. That's wisdom. You're applying that knowledge you have. How you can overcome them trials. How you can overcome those temptations. How you can find that way of escape that he's set up for us. That he's watching each one of us and not allowing us to be tempted above what we are able to handle. But he's also given us wisdom that we can make that application to our lives, make it so we can overcome those things. And then as you look at this understanding, he has given us light, as you see in this song, it says, to the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. In other words, you're going to understand the will of God. It's easy for you to understand. It's written down. It's not that only, as some would believe, there's only certain people that can interpret it, certain people can and talk about it, or tell you what the scriptures mean. But all men can understand. Ezra preached from a pulpit that they made for him. He said to all the people that could understand. And they all said, amen. So God's word has been revealed that all man can understand it. In other words, our eyes are enlightened. When we look into it, we understand. Like Sam done last week, the book of Psalms. You look through the whole book of Psalms. Look at all those things that David talked about. How his eyes were enlightened. How our eyes are enlightened when we look at those scriptures. When we see that there's no place that we can hide from God. And that he shows his loving kindness to those who are obedient. So there's great understanding in our mind. And then finally, there's an inheritance. As you read in the first few chapters of Revelation, each one of them churches, at the end it says, I'll give you a crown of life, I'll have you sit at the table and eat with my Father and I, and so on and so on. Different things that you're going to receive. And it's all a crown of life, or it's all an inheritance. But it's to those who have been predestined, those who have the character that God is looking for, those who are without blame, those who are holy people. So as you think about these spiritual blessings, if you're not a Christian, think of what you're missing out. That hope, that peace. Some may ask, why are you so easy with things? Why is things not bother you much anymore? Well, because I have a hope. I have a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that it don't matter. It just don't matter. These life issues, these turmoil that we go through each and every day, they don't matter. What matters at the end? You could have made $100 million, or you could have been the president of the university or president of the United States. Is that going to get you into heaven? No. It's not going to get you. But it is a life full of zealous and good deeds. I want to end the lesson with Galatians, the 5th chapter. And we could use any other, but I thought this is a good one. Talk about the fruits of the Spirit. This is the type of life that God desires of his people, his own possession. These people that are set apart from the world, that are going, as we talk in our class, people are going to know you're different than everybody else. You don't do the same things everybody else does. You talk to your neighbor about Christ. You talk to your fellow workers. You talk to your family. When they ask a question, you're ready to give an answer because you're proud that you're a Christian. You're proud that God has had mercy and grace to let you come into his family. Look in Galatians, like I said, chapter 5, verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So you can think about that. It says, such there is no law. So you can't give too much joy. You can't give too much love. You can't give too much patience. You can't give too much kindness. And what else? You can't give too much self-control. You can't have too much self-control. So there's no law against all these good things. So hopefully these kind of give you a few things to think about. And look at these. Some of these, a lot of times, these songs that we sing, look at those words closely. Because you can see in the scripture that is underneath the title. Go to that scripture. Especially you guys that preach. There's your lesson right there. Easy enough. But if you're not a Christian today, today's a good chance for you to receive these blessings. Be called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Receive those blessings that only a Christian receives. And be built up by each one of us. Also, if you kind of slipped away, gone back into the world, things seemed like it was not working for you in the church because whatever, you said, well, I'm going to go back and do these other things. I remember these other things are much nicer, a lot more fun to do. Think of your situation. What's going to happen on the day of judgment when He calls you in to question you concerning your life? So if you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?